all I have for you guys today. We've got Micah Coffey coming up to teach us today and Liz to read scripture.
Good morning. Hi, Liz.
Hey, Micah.
How are you?
I have a question to ask you.
Okay.
When you sent me the text,
There
are two C words in there that are hard for me to pronounce.
Okay.
So do you think you could
I would love
do
to,
this?
Yeah. Will you point to them?
It's this, it's that one, and then the E-N-C-E.
I got you. I'll read those. Sounds good. You got a plan. All right. Turn with us this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where Liz will be reading verses 1 through 6. And we'll be reading in the NIV per usual. All right. Liz, whenever you are ready.
Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are
competent
in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our
competence
comes from God. He has made us
competent
as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
Amen. Thank you, Liz. Welcome. Good teamwork. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you. Jesus, you are worthy of every praise, of every breath, of every moment, of every bit of energy from every person in every place. Spirit, would you fill us this morning? Would you be in this place? Would you be tangible here? Would you speak to our hearts from your word? In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome back to Christ Community. Welcome. If it's your first time, we're happy to have you here. You found yourself amongst a people who are learning to live and love after the pattern of Jesus. He's worthy to be praised, and he's worthy to be followed. So we're happy to have you this morning, and I just hope that you can come a little closer to him wherever you're at in your relationship to him. My name is Micah. I get the privilege of serving on the teaching team here, and this morning's teaching is going to be a little different. So if I break anything, John will be back next week. He can fix it. But if you're new and you're like expecting the Bible, we're going to talk about the Bible, but this morning's a little bit more storytelling and with the scripture kind of layered in. And so again, if you're like, man, that's not it for me, come back next week and John will fix it. Instead, we're going to be spending some time talking about living letters. Now, how many of you were here the last time we went through our Living Letters sermon series? Lots of you. You'll notice my hand is not raised. I'm new. So those of you who are veterans, you know, just tune it out. It's all old news. But living letters comes from this idea that we just read or that Liz just read for us, that each of our lives is meant to be a story written by God, a story that's co-written by our friends and our family. And it's meant to be presented to the world as a witness. A witness to the goodness of God, a witness to the character and the work of God in history, in our lives, and an invitation to join in that story an invitation to participate, an invitation to deliver letters, to read letters, to write letters. And the analogy will break down eventually, so don't think about it too hard. And so this morning, I get to share my God story, my letter. I get to read that metaphorically to you. And since you've heard a lot of me talking, maybe if you've been around for a while, but you've probably not heard a lot of my story, maybe a little bit here and there, I'm delivering my own letter this morning. So bear with me, and we'll see how it goes. And if you remember anything at all, I got a main idea for you, if you want to put that on the screen, Dan. The main idea is this. You can just take away one thing. God is inviting each of us to see the real Jesus and participate in telling his story of stories. He's inviting each of us to see the real Jesus and participate in telling his story of stories. All right, part one, invitation. When I was 18, I moved from Michigan, which is where I'm from, the greatest state in the union. It's not, actually. It's an objective fact, Heather. I moved from Jackson, Michigan, which is maybe the worst city in the greatest state in the union, to Fort Myers, Florida, to attend a Bible school called the Florida School of Discipleship. This school no longer exists, so don't go looking it up to try to fact check me. But when it did exist, it was a non-accredited Assemblies of God, which I was not part of, church-based 25-person vocational ministry training program for people who wanted to be pastors or missionaries or, you know, get their MRS degree. I don't know. C. Lacey, for example. But it was a very non-traditional choice for after high school. And you know when you're a senior, or even sometimes when you're a junior, everyone is always asking you the same question? Sam, what are they asking you? What are you going to do? And you're like, dog, I'm 18. Like, I'm going to figure it out. But they're always asking you. And so when I would tell people what I was going to do, I think some people thought, oh, Micah is joining a cult. He's joining a cult. I might have. And I couldn't explain to you why I was making this decision. I didn't have language for it. I just knew in my heart that it was what God was telling me to do. And I was only aware of this program because, you know, a 25-person, non-accredited vocational ministry training program didn't have a huge social media following or, you know, wasn't very widely known in the Midwest. But I only knew about this because my sister attended, and she only knew about it because she had a friend who attended, and she only knew about it because her grandma was a snowbird at the church where the school was. And so she had made the move, my sister had made the move a few years prior, and now she was a staff member at the school. However, the difference between my sister at 18 and me at 18 is she was a devout follower of Jesus, and I was a devout follower of the gods of high school sports, the gods of chasing girls, the gods of chasing money, the gods of me, in essence. But during my visits to this program, God began planting seeds in my heart. Seeds through the times of worship, and it wasn't a cult, it was a great program. Seeds through the times of worship, seeds through the relationships that I began to build with some of the guys who were in this program, seeds through seeing that it was possible to know God and find freedom. But I wasn't there yet, so he began to speak to me in just these little ways, and even through my junior and senior year where I was not a follower of Jesus, wasn't sure what I believed exactly, I knew that I was supposed to go to this program simply because of an unexplainable word that I had received in my heart. And in Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells this story, and maybe you've heard it, of a shepherd with 100 sheep. And he's a good shepherd. You'd have to be a good shepherd to count 100 sheep because they all look the same, to me at least. So one, two, three, I got to restart. But he had 100 sheep, and one day he notices that one of them went missing. So he leaves the other 99. He has 100 sheep, and he leaves 99 of them to go chase the one sheep. Either he really loved each and every sheep, or he was terrible at business. So he goes and he chases this sheep, and he pursues this sheep, and eventually he finds it, and he carries it home. And the scripture tells us that he was so excited that he had this one sheep that he invited his neighbors in for a party. Even though if he didn't get this one sheep, he still would have had the 99. When I was 18, I was a lost sheep, chasing after me, chasing after money, chasing after girls, all of the things. I was a lost sheep. But during those visits and even in between, as I would think back to those moments of revelation and those moments of connection, it felt like I could hear the shepherd calling out my name. It felt like there was somebody on the other side of a hill with a flashlight, although they didn't have flashlights in Jesus' day, so a torch, bear with me, who was searching for me, calling out for me, chasing me, even though it meant he had to leave 99 to do so. And although I wasn't sure exactly what it meant to say yes, or really even who I was following, or what he was all about, or what he wanted to bring me into, I responded with a yes in just a small way and made a move. And when Jesus is telling this story in Luke chapter 15, he's telling it to a weird group of people. There's tax collectors, which were like the worst kind of person of the day. There were prostitutes. There were all sorts of sinners. And the religious leaders were questioning, how can he sit with these people? And how can he teach these people? And here's what I think Jesus was thinking. God wants you, especially if you're far from him. It's those who feel the furthest who God chases the hardest. It's those who know how much they need to be forgiven who have the most capacity to love him. Luke 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and to save the lost. But to receive this invitation, you have to get out of your comfort zone, right? The sheep probably found a nice place to sit under a rock or maybe a cave, maybe a nice bed with a snack or two. But to go back to the shepherd, and if, you know, sheep aren't too bright, but if they had any consciousness at all, they would think, oh man, I'm going to get punished, right? There's a fear involved of going back to the shepherd. But saying yes to Jesus is trusting who he is and his character more than what you know he's going to do. And for a lot of us, saying yes to Jesus is probably not a cross-country move or something so dramatic, but there are tons of ways to say yes to Jesus. Maybe opening the Bible, praying, talking to a friend. So I just want to encourage you, don't let fear get in the way of your yes. The shepherd is calling out to you, and all you have to do is say, here I am. And it doesn't mean you necessarily understand what he's saying, but just that you're open to seeing who he is. So my dad and my stepmom moved me from Jackson to Fort Myers, and upon arriving, and this is part two, Dan, I had a reality check. Major reality check. I wasn't sure if I actually believed in Jesus. I had gone with this gut feeling. I had some kind of an idea or some kind of an attachment, but I hadn't really thought through the claims of Christianity. I hadn't thought through the ideas it presented. And although I had this vague familiarity, I wasn't sure if I truly believed. And I had just made a 1,300-mile move based on my sister's invitation and a gut feeling, but I might have just committed to attend a Christian ministry school without any desire to be a Christian. That's like would not work out. Here's the dilemma, according to C.S. Lewis. If Christianity is true, it is the most important thing in the world. Specifically, if Jesus is truly the Son of God, crucified for our sins, bodily risen on the third day, learning about him and growing in relationship with him was the best possible use of my time. If this claim about Jesus isn't true, Christianity is of no value to me. No value. And instead, it's going to get in the way of me doing something more valuable with my life. And maybe you'll say, well, maybe it would help you be a better person. I would ask in response, if in a vacuum with no other knowledge, if following the teachings of a madman who claimed to be God, claimed to be the culmination of history, claimed to be the judge of all humanity, would help you to become a better person, unless he was who he said he was. Lewis said Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, or he was actually Lord. And Paul says this himself in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, unless Jesus is truly raised from the dead, our preaching is worthless. And this wasn't a normal Christian college where you could choose a non-ministry major and you could focus on that and you could kind of coast on the spiritual stuff a little bit. This was Jesus all the time. This was Bible 101, 102, 103. So I needed more than a gut feeling. I needed some conviction. And so I had this dilemma, and during my first weeks and months there, I was processing through this yes and what it meant to say yes. And what I discovered is that there's really good reasons to believe in Jesus, and there's even better reasons to follow him. Really good reasons to believe in him, and even better reasons to follow him. And I thank God that I had teachers and pastors, not cult leaders, who were around me, who had done their own digging, who had thought through this process, who had asked their own questions, and they were prepared to respond to mine. The Bible is not a fairy tale, I discovered. It's full of real people in real places doing real things at real times, and Jesus is one of the most historically verifiable figures in history. He definitely lived. He definitely was a popular teacher in the first century. He definitely was executed by Roman authorities around 30 AD, and his followers definitely collectively testified that he rose from the dead and met with them, even having meals with them. And they all testified that he told them to go and proclaim that the kingdom of God had arrived in him and that all who trusted in him would be saved from their sin. And so his followers definitely did this, and almost all of them were brutally murdered, and none of them recanted their story. And one particular follower of Jesus, named Saul of Tarsus, was an enemy of these followers at first, but even he claimed to have this experience. And even he continued to testify to this experience until he was brutally murdered as well. Acts chapter 1, verse 3 says, after his suffering, Jesus, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs. We talked about this a little bit on Wednesday with our students. And Jesus is a unique religious figure because he didn't just say, trust me, bro. He didn't just say, I'm speaking on behalf of God. You're just going to have to trust me. The whole idea is staked on an event, not someone's word of mouth. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And a few years after this, after I had said yes to Jesus and realized how great he is, Lacey and I had the opportunity to go to Israel for a few weeks, if you want to put that first picture. And during this trip, we visited several archaeological dig sites. And one of those tours, the archaeologist who was giving the tour, not this one, but he said, when you're an archaeologist in Israel, you carry your Bible in one hand and a shovel in the other. And many of us would think, oh, he's probably talking about the New Testament, right? Because it's easier to grasp, it's easier to connect with history, it's newer. But he was talking about the Old Testament. See, he wasn't even a Christian. He was a secular Jewish man. Especially the book of Joshua. And I'm going to give you this example this morning, and I'm sorry if it's academic, but I'm going to get to the good stuff. This picture that I ripped off the internet because I had no good ones, so excuse the watermark. It's a picture of Tel Hazor, and if you read the story of Joshua, it's the story of the Israelites conquering Canaan, a difficult book to read for us moderners, but it's incredibly historical. And Tel Hazor is this ancient city in the north of Israel, conquered by Joshua. And when you go to this dig site, you can see the layers of civilization dating back 1,500 years before Jesus. From ancient Canaanites to early Israelites to later Israelites in the Davidic kingdom and then Second Temple and everyone. Real places, real people doing real things at real times. This matters. Jesus is not a fairy tale. He's not Shrek. He was a real person who said real things, and his claims are true or not true. And there's really good reasons to think they're true. And I could go on and on about these reasons, but the most important thing is not that Jesus is proved by history, but that he can be known in the present. Learning about God is great, but Jesus isn't just real, he's love. He's not just risen from the dead, but he can resurrect your soul. Christianity isn't true because it works. It works because it's true. And as I leaned into this process of drawing near to God, I experienced a resurrection of my soul. My desires changed, my priorities changed, my emotions changed, and it's a process. It's not a momentary, yes, Jesus, and then I'm perfect. It's a process of drawing near to him, as Amy talked about, and experiencing his love and experiencing his goodness and allowing those things to transform me. And I'm not perfect. I was not perfect. I won't be perfect this side of heaven. But when we realize that our identity is something that we're receiving from God, we can then receive the life and the purpose he has for us as well. We can receive the life and the purpose that he has for us as well. But even then, things don't always go the way we expect or the way that we want. And the path of life that Jesus has for us includes mountains and valleys, which is why following him requires trust beyond understanding. Lacey and I spent 3 years at this ministry school. We met there our first year. We fell in love. We went to McDonald's a lot for dates because we were poor. We volunteered. We served. We got married, we graduated, and I started working for this little coffee business that my friend had just started. And maybe you've heard me tell the story, but that ended badly. Yeah, you've heard the story. So we started working, and Lacey already had been working, but we started doing campus ministry with an organization called Chi Alpha. Eventually, we moved to Atlanta. That ended badly. We moved back to Illinois, where Lacey's from. She's from Mendota, which is why she's so cool. And immediately upon coming back here, I had a mental health crisis. I went through multiple jobs. We were trying to finish school. We got pregnant, praise God. We went to about 1 million churches in our first year and a half here. Couldn't find a place where we fit. It was tough. When we were in school and we were going through ministry school and then early in our time in ministry, it felt like God had us on a river, right? The current was just flowing in one direction. We knew exactly where we were going. We planned on being international missionaries. We knew what stops we were going to make along the way. We were just enjoying the ride and checking out the sights. And after we left ministry, it felt like we had hit the bay and head out into open waters, lost at sea. And for a couple years, we were in those open waters, still moving, still trying to follow Jesus, still doing what we can to be in right relationship with him. But it was hard. Eventually, we landed here at Christ Community, praise God, and we knew that our time lost at sea had ended. We found a new current, so to speak. And I'm not entirely sure where we're headed, but I know this. This is 2 Corinthians 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you a patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Our stories are like letters. My story, Lacey's story, your story are like letters. They're different than just a regular story because they're meant to be delivered to someone else. And in community, we deliver these letters, we read these letters together, and we move towards Jesus with each other. We push each other towards Jesus. We keep each other on track. And that's what we do here at Christ Community. We help each other deal with the difficulties. We help each other through the valleys. We help each other through the mountaintops. And if one person's life is like a living letter, then a church is like the New Testament. The New Testament is a collection mostly of letters written by different people to different people with different circumstances, different callings, different problems, etc. But all with the same divine author behind them. Are you tracking? And this same divine author is calling both those reading the letter, those delivering the letter, and those help co-writing the letter. He's calling all of us to himself. He's inviting us into the fold. He wants to carry you back to the pasture if you're far off. And the beginning of my story, it relies on the stories of those who introduced me to Jesus. It relies on my sister for delivering the letter to me. It relies on the stories of pastors and teachers who showed me that there are good reasons to believe in Jesus. My story is parallel with Lacey's, perhaps most of all, as we write a living letter together. It's carried on in our son, who will write his own story or allow God to write his story. And you can do the same by serving in children's ministry. Say yes to Jesus this morning. All of our stories are invitations to us, but also to those around us, to participate in what God is doing in history, in the moment, not in an abstract, ethereal, heavenly way, but what he's doing in the dirt with us here in Ottawa. It's bringing God's kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. We're called to help each other write these stories. And the worship team, if you guys want to join me, to comfort those in affliction with the comfort that we have received. I'll go back to the main point as we wrap up here. God is inviting each of us. If you are lost, if you feel far from God, if you feel broken, if you feel like your life isn't what it's meant to be, God is not searching for you angry. And the prayer team, if you guys want to come up as well, he's searching for you, calling your name. And you know that when you're looking for someone, like if you're a parent and you've ever lost your child, or you've seen a parent looking for their child, and they're calling the child's name, and there's a certain crack in their voice. If you're far from God, Jesus is looking for you with that same crack in his voice. He's desperate for you, and he's inviting you in. And he's not inviting you into some abstract religion. He's not inviting you in just to trust what he says and that's it. But he's inviting you into something true, something real, something grounded in history and active in the moment. And he's inviting you in not to do it on your own, not to do it in a vacuum, but to do it here with us. To live and love after the pattern of Jesus with people who are living and loving after the pattern of Jesus, albeit imperfectly. If you don't know what your letter says yet, let's try to read it together. Let's talk about it. Let's figure out what God is saying and doing in your life. If you're like, man, I've got a testimony, I've got a letter, don't keep it in your own home. Mail it, share it, read it, deliver it. I don't know, whatever analogy you want to use. Don't put your light under a bushel. Don't put your lamp out. Let it shine. Share it. Will you stand with me? God is inviting each of us to see the real Jesus and participate in telling his story of stories. He's inviting you. Maybe your yes this morning is just singing for the first time. Maybe your yes is coming up for prayer. Maybe your yes is serving in children's ministry and reading your letter there. I want you to just ask yourself, what's my yes this morning? The shepherd is calling out to you. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for reaching out to us. Thank you for inviting us in. God, thank you for inviting me in. A lost kid with no direction, no purpose, left to my own devices. You saved me, God. And you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. Would you help us to deliver these letters to show that what you've done in history and in the moment? Fill us with your spirit today as we sing together, as we spend time together, and as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.
I am an instrument of exaltation. I was born to lift the name above all names. You all creation, but there's a song of praise that only I can bring. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. You are the infinite God of the ages. Yet you chose to make my heart your dwelling place. You healed my brokenness, showed me your glory. I have songs of thanks not even angels. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy?